Sarah, if you wouldn't mind reading.
Oh, okay, sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll let you know I might be still asleep, so if I mistakenly do something wrong, say, well, she's still asleep. But I think I'm awake, but I could have used a second cup of coffee this morning. Okay, do we have any announcements this morning?
As you know in your newsletter, Kelly is giving up the newsletter as of the first of the year. What I'd like to do is keep that newsletter going, but I'm going to need your help. I'd like to have a couple of people work with me on this to try to get it set up. We need to find out what we want in there, what we want it to look like. So if you're going to express it, just let me know. You do not need any technical skills or anything. You just need to come with your ideas. So if you want to keep the newsletter going, let me know, and we'll get together and get it going. So, I mean, she's done a good job, and I hate to see us go without a newsletter because it's where we get our news. So just let me know.
Right.
This time of the year to update our church directory. I've got a sheet back there, so for any changes or additions and so forth to be made, we'd like to take and get it complete within the next 2 weeks. Oh, okay. But we usually have a meeting and go over that toward the end of November, so we'll have it printed and ready by the first of the year. Anybody, any changes? And if you know of anyone that's not here, don't make any changes, please alert them or put the changes.
Danny?
Yeah, just a correction. I know it says this Sun Wednesday, but it's the 20th, so it's not this Wednesday, it's next Wednesday, and we're starting season 4.
Okay, and you see your other announcements on the back. I don't need to go through them, but make sure you read your announcements so you know what dates. Especially the one that calls for all bakers to come forth. And I don't mean just baker family. I mean bakers that do baking and cooking and all that stuff. Praise the Lord. We have a communication here. It says, to all of you with warmest thanks. The heart remembers kind deeds and thoughtfulness. My heart remembers special people like all of you. Thank you so much. We send our most sincere thanks for your kind expressions of sympathy during the recent time of sickness and loss. We deeply appreciate your thoughtfulness and your kindness will always be remembered, Sarah and family. Any others? Wanda, how could I forget you?
Don't forget. We're having a short ladies' aid meeting right after church.
I forgot.
Check that memory box.
Oh, that memory box is running on low.
Yeah, but tomorrow being Veterans Day, I'd like to see by a show of hands how many veterans we have in our congregation today and recognize them. Good. I think we all give them a thank you and a round of applause.
Yeah. Okay, any other announcements? All right, let's prepare our hearts and minds while Jerry plays the prelude.
Thank you.
know, it's amazing. We have a loose chipmunk somewhere, and I think he's grown mighty big hands because there's so many things disappearing lately. If anybody sees a lost pair of sunglasses, reading glasses that always sit in that window there, they're Mr. Eiler's. So if you see a pair of glasses that need to be somewhere, they're probably his. Not sunglasses, reading glasses. Oh, my. Okay, all right. Call to worship, Psalm 146, 1 through 2. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for bringing us safely through another night with a good night's rest and awaking to your beauty that surrounds us. Father, now we just thank you for the opportunity to come to your house to give you the worship and praise and love that you so deserve. Father, now we just ask that you be with us in the midst, that you be with us during the remaining of the service, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now we can unite our voices in hymn number 450. 450. Our call to giving this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. May we bow our heads. Father, we just thank you again, once again, for the opportunity to be here and to share our tithes and offerings with you. Father, now we just ask that you would bless the gift and the giver. Bless them with good health and prosperity throughout the year. May we be, help us to be good stewards of the monies that we collect, that it may be a building to your kingdom here while we are still here. And Father, we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Amen. Okay, sharings of joys and concerns. Nancy? Frank?
I want to announce about Pat. She went this week, Friday, and I checked her any blockages for her health, and they discovered she had two between 70 and 80%. So she's scheduled for the 25th with an OCD and have those stents put in the correct ward. Keep her in prayer.
The 25th?
Because I had two things I prayed about, and I got answered positively this week. And also, the lady that helps me walk my dog, she had surgery on her knee. And I went to deliver some flowers in a card yesterday, and I found out her sister is in the York Hospital in very serious condition. They don't know if she's going to make it or not.
And what's the young lady, what's the lady's
Karen
name?
Karen Allen.
Karen? I saw a hand up. Wanda.
Continue putting my friend Ruth on the prayer list. She went and they reevaluated her catheterization and they found two other blockages, so that's four blockages. And she's scheduled for surgery on the 18th, so keep her in her prayers, please.
Mm-hmm. Danny?
Keith and Peter's family. My neighbor, Sandra, had to go to the hospital a couple of times last week. My Aunt Sandy has been put on hospice. And last night, my cousin Bill passed away.
Darlene, Faye.
I just want to keep Joyce in our prayers. Her sister, she was in the hospital this week, and she did come home yesterday. She's feeling a lot better.
Continue Travis and the Baker family, and for the election.
And please keep Cody in your prayers, but also give thanks. In the last 3 days, it's been a tremendous turn for the better. Praise the Lord, we got him to go out to eat with us Friday evening, and he doesn't do that. He doesn't. You can't hardly get him outside his house, or he will come to Nan and Pap's. But just continue to ask the Lord to guide the doctors and get the medicines where they need to be so that he can lead a normal life. But for those of you that don't know, when you have a grandchild or a child that you rarely see smile, it's heartbreaking. And to see that first smile on Friday afternoon when he came to our house with his dad to help, it was just, it was worth more than gold to me. So just continue to keep Cody in your prayers that he continues to progress. Keep our little neighbor Aiden. He was in a bus accident this week, and he had bumps on his head and some cuts and bruises, but he got a concussion, but they're keeping a close eye on him. So please pray for Frederick County Board of Education as well, because when you put politics ahead of a child's health and welfare, you have problems. And little Aiden, his doctor wants a video of when the accident happened, because she wants to assess what part of his body took the hit. Did his whole head take the force of the fall and whatever? And the answer was, oh, we can't help you. You have to go to our legal department. So you know, when we go through legal channels, how long that takes. So just pray for Frederick County Board of Education. Pray for all the state, nation Board of Education, because they're in dire need of some help. And the bus driver. And I haven't heard how the bus driver, Mr. Mike's doing, but the kids were really upset. Aiden's older siblings, they get off the bus first. They were so upset because they said, Mr. Mike is so nice to us. So he was walking, and they took him in the ambulance to check him out. But please keep Mr. Mike in your prayers as well. Any others?
Yeah, just keep Mom and Dad. Mom is not feeling well today, and she's due for a procedure on Tuesday, and I don't know if she's going to be able to get it done.
Well, that's right.
Now,
she isn't faking so she can get out of that procedure, because I know what it is. I would fake that. I know what that procedure is. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we'll keep her at the top of the list.
Dad's not having a good day either.
Okay. I'll put Mom free. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord however you are comfortable doing so. Oh, kind Heavenly Father, we come to give you thanks. We come to give you praise for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day of our lives, of all the answered prayers. Just as Maxine said, prayer works, and we can see those prayers answered. And Father, help us to understand when our prayers aren't answered. Help us to understand that you are in complete control and you know what is best. Father, now we have a long list of those that need your touch, those that need your comfort. Father, we just ask that you keep Ron and Nancy in your prayers. Keep them on the healing path. We think of Miss Pat and the procedure she has to go through. Father, you be with her. You guide the doctors and the staff as they do the procedure. And let the outcome be successful. Be with Frank as he takes care of his good wife. Give him the understanding that he needs in all situations, and give him the strength to go forth and help her. Father, we think of Karen, who helps Maxine and her family, has your need. We just ask that you be with them. Be with Ruthie as she endures open heart surgery, and that you guide the doctors and the staff, and that you be there right by her side as she goes through this. We think of the Peters family. We ask that you continue to bless Kathy and Danny and their family with returning health, and just be with them each day. We think of Danny's Aunt Sandy. We think of his cousin Bill and his passing. Be with all the family. Give them comfort. Father, we think of Bob and Linda who are not feeling well, and we just ask that you would lift them up. Thank you for Joyce. Thank you for letting her come home, and we just ask that you continue to keep your healing hand upon her. The Baker family, with their many needs and cares. Travis, young Travis and Cody. They're two young, beautiful men that are plagued with issues, and we just ask that you would cover these young boys, that you would bring them back good health, physical, mental, spiritual. Father, we think of Aiden, little Aiden, who says, Mommy, I don't want to ride the bus anymore. Please be with him, for we know his fears are great right now. We just ask that you would heal him and heal his mind and just get rid of those awful things of that day, that he doesn't dwell on it. We ask, Father, that you be with Mr. Mike as he recovers. And for we know that he has a heavy heart for the accident. For when he came to, the first thing he said, are the boys okay? So bless Mr. Mike and with returning health. Father, we think of our country and the needs of our country. Yes, we've had an election. And whether you are happy about the election or unhappy about the election, look at the whole picture. No matter who's in charge, they're not really in charge. You are, Father. Help us to understand you are in charge. And that we should, as Christians and as children of yours, come to you each and every day and pray for the leaders that are going to be in office. Pray that they would have Micah 6:8 upon their hearts, that they would humbly come for you, before you. Father, now we just ask that you would be with our leadership in education, not only our own local Board of Education, but around the world, that they would see what's most important, not the politics of it, but of the young, innocent children and the teens that they are supposed to teach. Let them get back to the basics and let them have compassion. Father, be with, help us to have peace all around the world. For we have so many conflicts and issues, and Father, we just pray that love would conquer all, and that we would have more love abounding in this world today than the hate and animosity. Father, now we just want to lift up Pastor Sam to you as he comes before this sacred desk. You touch him in a mighty way that your words flow through him and they flow easily. We just thank you for him. We just thank you for Jackie, and we thank you for Pastor Tracy and Sister Pat that are always there for us. We don't know what we would do without these couples. We really don't. So, Father, we just ask a blessing upon them. Now, Father, we want to unite our hearts and our voices in that most perfect prayer and lift it up to you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
whenever Jerry picks that song out, the first sister of the Lord I remember is Aunt Cass. She, when we'd sing that, she used to sit behind us and she'd say, "Oh, Leon, I love this song." So whenever we hear that, I think of Aunt Cass because that was one of her favorites. Okay, the morning scripture comes from Jude 20 to 21, and thank you, Brother Sam. You've been easy on me again today. The sermon is how to keep yourself in the love of God. But you, dear friends, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Amen. Now let's give Brother Sam our attention. You've got your pineapple juice? You're ready to go? There you go.
40 minutes of juice. Well, it's good to be back in the pulpit, Monocacy Church of the Brethren. Last time I was in this pulpit, there were 70 people in this church. Less than 24 hours ago, memorial service for Daryl, Adele, and Sharon Marshall. Dale and I, our relationship goes back 70 years. So you do a funeral service like that, I had to tuck my emotions so it wouldn't get out of hand when you know someone that long. And the Marshall family and the March family were some of the original people that started People's Church in Frederick that became known as People's Baptist Church. So I knew his family. We worked together. I graduated from Bible College, went to Washington Bible College. Dale's a little younger. Went in the military. About a 40-year period, we didn't have any contact. So when I came to Frederick, became interim pastor of Emmanuel Bible Church. Dale and Sharon attended our church, had a great time. And a few years ago, they lived on Willis Lane near Bethel Road, maybe a mile and a half south of the Arthur Rice Farm. So you have some idea of where we were. A couple years ago, he began to realize dementia was setting in. And they thought it best to move down to their daughter east of Fredericksburg. And we talked back and forth. Toward the end, she had to talk because he realized he wasn't with it. He went to be with the Lord in December. And his wife just could never pull herself together to have a service. We'd call her once in a while. We're talking about the Civic Center in Fredericksburg. It just didn't work out. Talked about going into home. It didn't work out. So she would call every once in a while. Last time I talked, I didn't tell anyone. Didn't tell my wife, didn't anyone. I thought, I don't think she's going to make it. And she went to be with the Lord in June. So now the daughter's got a mother and dad and no service. She called me a few weeks later, and you folks know, my voice was at its worst. And I'm the one going to conduct the service, because Dale was saying, nobody but Sam's going to do it. So we took a pause, and then a couple months ago, she called. I'd already conducted one funeral in D.C. Said, well, I know I can do a funeral. So then we said, Fredericksburg, up here, she decided, since they're from Frederick, most people know them from Frederick. So we invited them to be at our house. She said, might not be big enough. 70. So where could we have it? Monocacy Church of the Brethren. Contacted Debbie, and you folks did all that work downstairs just for that service yesterday. And so in my eulogy toward the end, I said this: Dale and Sharon are in heaven, not because of their good works for the Lord, but because his good works for them. Preached the gospel, gave the invitation, and several people indicated they received the Lord as their Savior. So I'm wondering, with David Jeremiah, did God take away my voice? So some people could get saved yesterday. We don't know what God has in mind, but it was a great time, and I appreciate you folks very much. Let's bow now in prayer. Father, we give thanks that we know you. Thank you for your grace and kindness to us. We pray you bless us as we spend time in the Word. In Christ's name, amen. Working in Jude, focus on the imperative. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The word is an imperative. That's something we need to do. A lot of things God does. Did you know God wants us to love Him? God wants us to thank Him? I mean, how could we pay back God? We can't. But He wants us to love Him. This is a deep, abiding kind of love. This is something that would sacrifice for the Lord. So, we want to put our attention on the Lord. Love the Lord with all our heart. Pastor Tracy is going to read Mark 12:30, what the Lord requires of us.
If you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, with all your mind, and with all of your strength, this is the first commandment.
Now, when I ask you a question, I don't want you to answer it right now. Think it over. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength? Probably say, yeah, but think over about it. Do we love the Lord more than we love a church? We love the Lord more than this church building? If you're in Clearfield Bible Church in Westminster, you better love the Lord more than the church, because the church burnt to the ground with four counties helping put out the fire. $1.5 million damage now being in a fire company. So things about us can be taken. Do we still love the Lord? Do we love the Lord when our health is gone? When our wealth is gone? When things don't go our way? 1 John 4:19 says we love Him because He first loved us. Our hymn even talked about that. The Lord's blessed us with Pennsylvania, 3 married granddaughters. Between the 3 of them, there's 9 children, great-grandchildren. Millie is, 2 months old? And I was wondering, how many times does a mother say to a child, I love you? And then the child says back to mommy, I love you. There's Becca with 4 of them. Millie, 2 months old. She loves them. But Millie, I think we've got her to. There'll be a smile. When she sees her brothers and sisters, she smiles. But I haven't heard her say, at 4 months old, 2 months old, I love you. I don't think they start talking then. So how long do we say to the child, I love you, till they respond? When do we respond to God? When He's shown His love to us so much all the time. So God wants us to love Him with all our heart. One of my great favorite songs growing up was, I'd rather have Jesus. One of the verses, I'd rather have Jesus than houses and land. 6th generation Martz, farming in Frederick County, within 10 miles of Walter Martz Road. I had to leave the farm. I'd rather have Jesus and houses and land. I had to leave the farms. In those days, Washington Bible College was downtown D.C., 8 blocks from the White House. So I went from the quietness of the cornfields of Frederick County to downtown D.C. that never stops. Racket all the time. First week or so, it drove me crazy. Finally got used to it. But I said, I'll follow the Lord. God said, okay, leave the farm. Never thought it would happen until God said, do it. And so God may require us to do things, to give up things that we might think, but we love Him more than mother and dad, relatives, church, Dale. I didn't see Dale for 40 years. And so God wants us to love Him with great, amazing love. But God knows how much we love Him. And sometimes he puts us to a test. Pastor Tracy is going to read something. Probably all you're saying, I'm glad it wasn't me. John 21.
So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know I love you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, Do you love me? He said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep.
Now, in English we wouldn't see this, but in Greek there are two words. The word here and the word Jesus said, Lovest thou me, is agape, that is deep, sacrificing love. You love sports so much, you play in bad weather. You love this so much, you do it with sacrificing. You love your country so much, you're willing to give your life for your country. So Jesus said, Peter, do you love me with a deep, abiding love you would sacrifice and do anything? And Peter then responded with a different Greek word, phileo. Peter, do you love me with great, deep, abiding love? And Peter said, Lord, we're good friends. Is that the same? Not quite. Second time, same words. Peter, love me with that deep, abiding love? We're good friends. You wouldn't see it in English. The next time, Jesus said, okay, Peter, are we good friends? And Peter realized the Lord had stepped down to his level. He said, Lord, you know all things. When I graduated from high school, I was a newspaper reporter for the Frederick Post. Still write articles with them, so still in contact. So it means I work 6 nights a week. If I was going to date, couldn't be during the week. So I dated a girl in Hagerstown for 1.5 years, Sunday afternoons. The most spiritual girl I'd ever met up to that time. She really loved the Lord, and I didn't fall with her. Her walk with the Lord was probably better than mine. We stayed 1.5 years. So one Sunday afternoon, I went over, sit down, talk a little bit. She said to me, Sam, I want us to be friends. I said, her name? Friends? We've been dating for 1.5 years. She changed a little bit. See if you catch it. I mean, just friends. Is there a difference between a girlfriend and a girl who's just a friend? I think I see heads going in the right direction. I realized what that meant. Within 2 minutes, I remembered things I had to do back in February, and I got out of there like the house was on fire. Never seen her since. So there's a difference with Jesus. Seriously, are we just friends with Jesus? When things go our way, do we still love the Lord? I think I mentioned about my voice. Could it be possible the Lord took away my voice back in June so we could have a service in November for people to accept the Lord? If that's so, I'll try to learn my sign language again. God knows what he's doing, and he wants us to love him with this abiding love. Now, along with that, it says, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. Now, with love. Now, I'm using a couple. When people get married, there's great romance. When you've been married for 60 years, I'm still in love with my wife. The Bible tells husbands, love your wives. But there's a difference between romance and love. When you're at the altar and say, take them in sickness and health, I didn't know that meant knee replacement for my wife. when I say, would you say that a knee replacement is romantic? Would you say that when your wife has a racing heart and you go down to the emergency room, her heart beats 150 beats a minute? It's not romance, but it's love. So there's adjustments in your life when you know someone. You want to be, you get together more. And give you a hint, occasionally I will have a strong thought in my mind that I won't say a word. Within an hour or so, my wife will make a statement about that. I thought the other day, you know, I wouldn't mind going down and taking a drive on the Skyline Drive. Said nothing. Going to Thurmont, Jackie said, you know, I wouldn't mind going down on the Skyline Drive. You think alike. You think together. But there's adjustments. Now, in my case, country boy, marry a city girl. I thought, I wonder how this is going to go. So the first time I had my wife to the farm, we climbed to the top of the silo. She climbed with me. Now, how many of you ladies have ever been to the top of a silo? Any ladies? A few ladies. I knew my Karen would say yes. I knew Karen. I had her on that one. Not many would do that. I prayed. I looked at her. I said, Lord, if I get her down from here, I'm going to marry that girl. So on our honeymoon, since I love mountains, we saw the Massanutten Mountains, the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, North Carolina, Great Smokies. But we had to go to the beach because my wife wants to see the ocean. So we went to the Outer Banks, see the ocean. The following year, my wife begins to say to me, Sam, I want to go see the ocean. And said nothing. After half a dozen times a year, my wife said, Sam, I want to go see the ocean. I said, see the ocean? It looks the same as it did last year. Was that not an appropriate answer? So I'll take her to see the ocean. What am I going to do? Waves come in, waves go out. Sand here, some umbrellas here. It's the same. What's different about an ocean? Oh, lighthouses at the ocean. So my love for history and lighthouses, her love for the ocean, has made us both love lighthouses. And thus far, we've seen 198 of them, from Maine to Hawaii. So life is an adjustment. But when we accept Christ, there's an adjustment. Most unsaved people don't enjoy reading the Bible. Wouldn't be interesting, just ask at the shopping center, have you read, going to Weiss, people walk down the aisle, hey, by the way, have you read the Bible recently? They probably said, are you a religious nut? When we would say, yes, I just read, thus and so. We love to read the Bible. My neighbors in Thurmont, I don't think I understand this at all. They feel sorry for me and my wife. Every Sunday we got to get up and go to church. Folks, they don't know what they're missing. They just sit there and watch what's on TV. I'd rather be in church. When Sunday morning comes and it's Rocky Ridge, I'll say, oh, no, not again Rocky Ridge. I say, yes, we're going to the ridge on Sunday morning. We love this. So when you accept Christ, things are different. We love to read the Bible. We talk about answers to prayer. You know what the world calls that? Coincidence. It's not coincidence. When Debbie and you folks are giving answers to prayer, I may not know anything about the circumstance, but I know about God. I know when Maxine talks about how God answers prayer. I've had it last week. Some over with my computer. I say, okay, Lord, you've got to settle this thing down. And next thing you know, everything's... It's great to know the Lord, but there's an adjustment. But there's also avoidance. If you love someone, you're not going to do something to irritate them. And Pastor Tracy has some things about of what we should avoid.
Proverbs 6:16-18. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift of running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
So if we love the Lord, we're not going to do something to aggravate the Lord. We love him. And then also, 1 John 2:15.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
So when we love the Lord, we're going to avoid things of the world. That's why I've been in high school with my group. If I thought something was not correct, I know the Lord didn't please it. I wasn't going to do it. I'm not going to play hooky because I know it's not right. And so we love the Lord, we'll do these things. Now, follow instructions. We love the Lord. Okay, you say, okay, I'm going to do it. How do you do it? Verse 20 says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The word building means one thing upon another. I would assume and hope that all of us are stronger Christians today than we were a year ago. There's things come in my life that, oh, I understand. When you start building, you build upon. Coming in from Crittertown before I get to Gene's house, there's something being built. My advantage is we can buy once a week. So the first week we came by, we saw equipment. Next week we come by, we see dirt piles. Now, this morning, we took those. I think they're up to the ceiling because I can see where the window wells will be. So they're building on that. We as Christians should be stronger. I should be stronger. Sometimes I wonder why I'm not stronger. Here the Lord is working in our hearts, and we build one thing upon another. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us about the foundation we have.
Verses 11 to 13. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is.
Can you imagine? Jesus is our foundation. He said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Talk about a foundation. We built our church down in D.C. We were on a big hill. We cut 10 feet off, 30,000 cubic yards of dirt. In one place, there was some sand. When we built our church, the county made us dig the footers. Then we had an engineer come around, and he test hole every hole to see that it would hold up the building. So I know that New Carlton Bible Church has got a good foundation. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. Foolish man upon the... We have a house upon the rock. And we can survive the storms of life. So here we have the foundation is Christ. But we want to build on that. Then it talks about faith. Faith means firm persuasion based on report. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why don't people have more faith? Don't read the word. And when you read the word, it increases your faith. I see what people did, what God did with other people. He can do with us. And so we have that great foundation, Jesus Christ. Then the next one is communication, praying. Pastor will read Hebrews 4:16 about prayer.
Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
When we think about prayer, there's often been times I'm almost mystified that God wants us to pray. That God wants us to talk to him. Now, I know the mayor of Thurmond, who he is. He's never said, Sam, why don't you call me once in a while? I know who congressman is. I can't think of any elected official that says, Sam, call me once in a while. But the God of the universe says, call me. talk to me. So we have this invitation to prayer. And many times, I begin my prayer by saying, Lord, you told me to come boldly through the throne of grace in time of need. And I sure got the time of need. We could go, I guess, 2 weeks tomorrow. We were visiting our daughter and son-in-law, packed up to come home early to go to a Bible conference. And the car said, you're not going. Get on the highway, and the accelerator goes down, but the engine doesn't go up. Make a long story short, we have spent a night back with the daughter while they fix the car. So I'm saying, Lord, I need to get home. Sometime I'll teach in a class. I know the world wouldn't stop if I didn't. But it's amazing how God answers our prayer. And then the priority of prayer, Acts 6:4.
But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
Aren't you glad for prayer, answers to prayer, and what I keep in my directory? I keep answers to prayer. At the end of the year, I go back. It takes me a while. And I thought, how many times, obviously, God answered prayer? Kind of like somebody told Billy Graham, God doesn't answer prayer, he's dead. Billy Graham said, he must have died recently. I talked to him this morning. So we know the Lord as our Savior. James 4:16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I thank the Lord for my wife. Many times, she prays for things, even in church activities, and it comes out just like she does. Now, around the house, when I get the step ladder out, she prays. When I get the extension ladder, she has the neighborhood pray. So I can figure out why that is. But isn't it great that God wants us to communicate with him, talk with him? Then consummation, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That looking for mercy means to lean out so far forward you almost fall over. It means our anticipation with the coming of the Lord. I'm always looking for something future. Always have activities. Right now, most of us are thinking about Thanksgiving. Now with us, with a son in Maryland, daughter in Pennsylvania, we do have to plan ahead with multi-families. When you get married, there's two families. Now we have about 7 different families with in-laws. So we're looking forward to Thanksgiving, then Christmas, then New Year, then my wife's birthday, then the Pennsylvania Farm Show. And so it's always something looking forward to. But I'm looking for the coming of Jesus. If he would come at this moment, I said, pray this morning, Lord, with my voice, if the next voice I hear is angels, fine with me. Sorry, we're still here. But to look forward to the coming of the Lord, our Savior. Now, when we get to heaven, we say we're going to look forward to seeing mom and dad, and various other ones. But the songwriter says, want to see Jesus. Want to see those nail-pierced hands, the one who died on Calvary for us. Ephesians 2:4.
Lord God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us.
Thank you, we're going to see the one who loved us. Can never imagine how much God loves us. Now what I do at home right now in my study, my Bible's open to 1 Thessalonians, to the passage, the Lord will shout, so they said with a shout. And I got a pen there. So if the rapture takes place, when they eventually get to my house, they're going to go to my dust and say, well, he must have gone on. They won't understand the rapture. They don't know where we went. But at least they'll understand. He was expecting Jesus to come. Now, when our daughter and son-in-law lived in Texas, we'd see him maybe twice a year. When they would fly into the airport, whichever one, BWI would go with that. We would have the information. Southwest Airlines, flight so-and-so. Long before 9/11, can't do it now. Before 9/11, remember me down there? You could go back to the gate where the plane comes in. So we'd find what plane's going to come in which place. We'd go back there and find the gate. Then I go and look, which way are the planes coming in? Southwest Airlines. big turtle. So I'd watch the planes coming in. Here comes United. Forget it. American. Nah. Trans. No. Here's Southwest. Comes in. Comes around. Goes to a different gate. That's not right. I'd watch to see that plane come in and come around to the gate. They said, boy, that guy loves airplanes. He's watching Southwest Airlines come in. Plane comes in. Parks. Passengers begin to get out. When I see Beth and Mark, I'm not interested in the airplane anymore. I'm not looking for an airplane. I'm looking for a person. We're looking for Jesus to come and have him come at any time. Titus 2:13.
Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ.
He promised to come. What I like in the book of Revelation, Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And what did John say? Even so come, Lord Jesus. I love living here. I love being with you folks. But the Lord wants to take us out of here right now. Even before inauguration, I'm ready to go. May our attention be on the Lord and keep ourselves in God's love. Let's bow down and pray. Father, we give thanks that you love us with this great abiding love. Help us to keep our focus on you and keep in your love. So we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.